David Ward is joining us now as we go through getting prepared for the 4th of July, 250 years. And David's going to explain to us a little bit about Fort Mill's involvement in the Revolutionary War. David, appreciate you being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here. Appreciate you giving the time.
You know, we've been having different local historians in. We had Mayor Eddie Lee, of course, talk about South Carolina as a whole yesterday. We had Zach Limhouse, who talked a lot about Western York County. But the town of Fort Mill in Eastern York County played a big role in the Revolutionary War.
Yes, indeed. If you look at when Cornwallis, of course, was thinking that he was going to take over Charlotte and head on north, and then he kind of got spanked and had to return south down toward Winnsboro, he actually came through Fort Mill. He actually spent the night in a couple nights in Fort Mill. And so we have a pond. It's called Spratt's Pond.
Yeah.
And that's where Cornwallis camped out. Now, Cornwallis kind of got a little bit sick. He was actually sick at that time. And what happened, there was a huge double hurricane storm that came through, and it was actually flooded the Catawba. And so the Catawba, they were trying to get across Nation Ford, which that's right where, for those that, if anybody walks down Riverwalk,
yeah,
they get to the train trestle. That's where Nation Ford is.
Okay.
And so Cornwallis was waiting it out, trying to get there. And a couple things that happened while he was here, he actually, there was a sentry, a person by the name of Alexander, a local person there in Fort Mill, actually shot one of the sentries in Fort Mill. And so we have one British that got killed right there in Fort Mill, and a second British, Cornwallis, actually hung him because of desertion. They hung him between, and if you're familiar with where Spratt's Pond and where the railroad is now, of course, back in at that time there wasn't a railroad coming
sure
through.
Yeah,
but if you go to there, about halfway between there was where this person got hung, and he was hanging the whole day, and a little boy is the one that actually took him down and stuff, and supposedly he's buried somewhere. Both of those guys are buried somewhere, but there's no markings or anything like that. And another thing that I like about one of my heroes, of course, is Thomas Sumter, the Gamecock.
Yeah.
He was very instrumental in around Fort Mill. He was there. He camped out at Nation Ford. He also camped out at Clem's Branch, which if you're on 160 heading from Fort Mill toward Indian Land, right when you cross the Sugar Creek, if you hang a left on the Barberville Road and you get down to the bottom, you're heading toward, that's Clem's Branch. And that's where Thomas Sumter had a lot of men camping out there and stuff like that. Always liked that. There's a site in Fort Mill called Hagler's Heel, and that's where Sumter, along with King Hagler, actually was very instrumental in swaying or having the Catawba Indians, of course, fight on behalf of the Patriots. So that the thing that I like about Fort Mill, there's a lot of things that you look at as far as instrumental, especially after Cornwallis found out that, you know, Ferguson got killed at King's Mountain. Just the next 2 days, he was heading south trying to get out of here. He ended up not crossing over Nation Ford. He had to end up going further south, eventually crossing over at Lansford Canal, so down there and stuff. But
we were talking yesterday with Zach Limhouse about the people in this area and how important this state. Over 400 skirmishes or battles happened in the state of South Carolina. In your opinion, why is this state so important when it comes to Revolutionary War? There's even license plates out now that said where the Revolutionary War was won.
Right. Well, you know, if you really look at it, and you'll hear a lot of comparisons on this, it was usually always break people into threes.
Okay.
A third was loyalist, those loyal to the king. Third was patriots wanting to get away from England. And then there was another third, they just didn't care. They didn't want to be bothered. They just wanted to be left alone, be able to do what they needed to do to raise their family and all. And I think what happened is when you start seeing the oppression that some people go through, and when you start saying people like the South is known for, if you tell us, you know, what we can't do or what we can do, you know, you're going to kind of stoke up something. And I think, of course, it's a vital element just because of Charleston. Of course, it being a major harbor, major venue to be able to come in and out of. But that's where, as far as, you know, when you look at it, it wasn't, and this area, especially up here, it was still backcountry. I mean, mm-hmm. it was not a civilized area. Nearest town, of course, or the nearest one, Camden, Charlotte, was even still not the size it was at that point. and all. But that's what I see. I'm proud to be a South Carolinian, and just for what we stood for and how things happened. And that's where I see it, just being a lot of those folks that really just want to take care of defending their family, being able to be in there and not have somebody across the water telling us what we need to be doing or anything like that.
You know, I didn't know about Thomas Sumter's involvement in the Fort Mill area. And I always think back when, you know, Thomas Sumter or Francis Marion mentioned, I think back to the movie The Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that the Benjamin Martin character was based on Thomas Sumter and based on Francis Marion, how he used to work around the rivers. And that's what I imagine. Okay, it makes sense with the Catawba River, mm-hmm. him engaging in those little attacks and escaping back to the river area.
Yeah, the bridge didn't like that because he wasn't fighting fair. You know, right. They expected everybody to stand up and shoot across from everybody.
The honorable way to
that's
do
right.
it. It was, you know, you hide behind a tree and sneak up on someone, particularly the supply lines. And I think that was really kind of the way that they were most effective, is attacking those supply lines where there weren't, you know, a full army of redcoats there, but to be able to attack those supply lines, which left, you know, 100 miles down the road or down the trail, you know, an army waiting on food and ammunition and resupply, which allowed, you know, the smaller forces of the loyalists, of the Patriots, to be able to be effective against those larger numbers of men.
Of course, we're speaking with David Ward. David, the town of Fort Mill always has the firing of the cannons on the 4th of July. You were sharing some information about how big of a deal this is, at least nationwide, during the break. And you said this is the longest running, correct?
Yes, this is the longest running shooting of a cannon, especially just in a park in the country. The story, Round Top, Texas, mm-hmm. which is just right at the outskirts of Austin, Texas, they were actually firing, I think it was 1873, they started firing a cannon. And then I believe it was around 1920, 21, they double-loaded the cannon by accident, exploded, actually killed a person. So they dropped doing that. Since then, and then we started firing a cannon in 1973. After that, Round Top has started again to do that. And so we got the claim for having the continuous longest firing of the cannon. And I got to give Mike Short a shout out here, who his uncle Clyde Short was the first one to fire the cannon. And Mike Short even made sure that we kept the string going during COVID. Him and his daughter, even though the actual firing was called off, he took a pack of firecrackers, stopped by there, went to the store, got a pack of firecrackers, stuck them in there, and made sure that we still
fired
the cannon.
That's right.
We fired it. It didn't matter how much powder you had in there.
Why did what you mentioned, who started it? What was the reason for starting it in 1973?
It was really just a bunch of good old boys sitting around at one of the local, well, we'll just say the American Legion.
Yeah, we'll call it the American
Legion. And Clyde was a bomb specialist in the service.
Okay.
And served in World War II. And so those old boys are sitting around there probably having some Coca-Cola and Mountain Dew, something like that, you know.
We'll call it that.
So they asked Clyde, they said, hey, can we shoot that cannon off it? Up the park. He said, sure we can. He said, you boys go clean it out, because people would put trash and stuff in there. He said, you boys go work on cleaning that thing out. He said, I'll go to the shop and get the powder ready. And I, first of all, now just stop right there for a second. If that happened today, how many people do you think, Homeland Security?
Oh my gosh.
Everybody else would be all over.
Yeah.
So anyway, so what was funny, so they went up there and Roddy Phillips, who was the chief at the time, he pulled up there and he saw these bunch of these guys around the cannon. He said, hey, boys, what y'all are doing? We're going to fire this cannon. He said, oh, no, you're not. He says, you can't fire a cannon in town. That's against the law. He said, you can't, like, firearm anything. He said, well, we're going to fire it. He said, it'll cost you $1,000. Well, one of the guys said, I got $1,000.
In 1973, that was a lot of money.
And Raleigh Phillips said, okay, boys, well, just give me to the top of Main Street. Let me get up to the top of Main Street before y'all do it so I can get out of here and stuff. So they fired it, and there it came. Now it's become a tradition. We started really making it official when Fort Mill turned 100 years old in 1973, right there. So that was the unofficial is not counted, because it was actually a year lapse between.
Okay.
But that's how the cannon started firing and everything. So.
Well, you can see them in person on the morning of July 4th, 10 a.m., correct?
10 a.m.
Confederate Park right there in downtown Fort Mill. David, we appreciate you spending some time, and I learned something new. I had no, like I said, no idea Thomas Sumpter
Oh, yeah.
worked in this area.
Yep, sure did. Well, hey, I appreciate it. You guys come over to Fort Mill and have a good time.